Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Jeremy? Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house. This day is a special day for us here at Our Savior Eucharist. First Sunday of Advent. So our candles have been installed, as well as the decoration of our sanctuary here at 6th and Wall Street. If you listen to us by radio or by our podcast, you're listening to Our Savior. And we're glad you turned us in. Special day also because besides Eucharist and Advent, this is the Christmas program. So believe it or not, when we pulled the youth in the cast, if they could make it to 8:30, they said yes. Didn't see a lot of smiles, but they were here at 7:45 to be part of our production here at the early service. So we're gonna do the lighting of the candle. Ryan, our acolyte, if you'll light our white, our blue candle, one of the blue. The word for the day, each Sunday has a theme word. So today is a simple four-letter word, begins with an H, ends with an E. Hope. Very good. You must have remembered that from last year. So the word is hope, and that is the theme for the day. You're going to hear, we're not going to have the typical scripture readings because of the skits that the youth are doing. Yes. Oh, that you're talking to me. So let us pray for the gift of hope. Gracious God, as we enter into this darkening season of winter and of Advent, they're conflicting in that Advent tells us you're coming to bring us light, and all around us we see darkness. Gracious God, you give us our hope. You give us encouragement in the midst of our darkness, in the midst of sadness. You come bringing us a surprise, resurrection to eternal life. Keep us safe, Lord. Bring us to that day when hope shall be realized through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Custom of our congregation is to sing one additional verse, page 2. Light one candle to watch for Messiah. We sing the first verse. You may remain seated. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the Lord of Israel, who comes to set us free, the mighty Savior, who comes to show mercy, the dawn from on high, who guides us into peace. Amen. So let us come before God in confession of our life and sin. To you, O God, we lift up our souls. You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you. Remember not our sins. Remember us with your steadfast love. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths. And lead us into justice and truth. for the sake of our goodness in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Children of God, come with joy and draw water from the well of salvation. Remember the gift of your baptism. Your sin is washed away in the name of Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are anointed to serve. Stand up and raise your heads. The reign of God is near. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our hymn of praise is Psalm 8, The Lord is Great, page 4. Be with you.
And also with you.
If you'll join me in the prayer of the day, please. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, alert us to the threatening dangers of our sins and redeem for your life of justice. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Here we begin with the skits. After each of the three skits, there'll be a single verse the youth will sing, and you may join. You'll certainly know them. We begin.
Good morning. Good morning. I was asked to share with you how the birth of my son affected me. It's kind of a long story, but I guess it started when Mary and I were dating. One night I was sleeping and I woke up with fright. You know, those times when you are sleeping but not totally gone and your body all of a sudden does this big spaz out. Yeah, that's what happened to me. I thought nothing of it. Happens all the time. But then I heard a voice. And when you start hearing voices talking to you, people start accusing you of being a nutcase. So I didn't want to hear the voice. I closed my eyes trying to go back to sleep. Then along with my voice came some extremely bright lights. Oh, let me tell you something that happened to me at camp when I was a kid. One night I was sleeping and suddenly I had bright lights shining into my eyes. One of my buddies yelled out at the top of his lungs, "Whoa, look out for that train!" My heart went racing. Yikes! I thought this was the death of me. They proceeded to take their pillows and pound the living daylights out of me. So that night, when the light shone at me, I was half expecting a barrage of pillows to pound me. But instead, I opened my eyes and saw an angel. I thought, "Oh, stink. I'd rather have been hit by a bunch of pillows." Usually angels' visits are when something crazy is about to happen. And that's when the angel told me, "Get this." The angel says, "Mary's going to have a baby." I said, "Why couldn't you just have hit me with a bunch of pillows?" I actually already knew that. Oh, Mary, it wasn't exactly hard to tell that she was pregnant, if you know what I mean. Like we were talking, either she had just eaten too many enchiladas or she was pregnant. And I was devastated. First of all, I love Mary. Second, she was carrying someone else's baby. That's worse than getting hit by a bunch of pillows. And so I wanted to get out of this relationship before I was hurt anymore. Now the angel must have seen terror in my eyes because he said, "Don't be afraid." Basically, the angel told me to stay with my commitment to Mary, and that this baby was not going to be the product of Mary's unfaithfulness, but that Mary was a part of God bringing the Messiah into the world. And so how did the birth of Jesus affect me? It made me thoroughly committed to my wife and to raising of God's Son. Commitment is vitally important. I needed to be committed to bring God's Son into the world. And believe me, it wasn't easy. My life was in danger. The words of the angel rang into my ears. "Do not be afraid." Hey, I hear the commitment is exactly what Jesus requires of those that follow him. How committed are you to following my Son? May the words of the angel bring you comfort too. Do not be afraid. Follow him with a committed heart, and great things can happen to you. Just take my life as an example.
Okay. I was asked to share what the birth of Jesus meant for me. Well, really nothing. Okay, so I was shaking at the knees, but you see, one night there were these kings, and they stopped by because they had seen a star that indicated a king was born. They came to the palace because surely this was a place where a king would be born. They said something about this being the king of the Jews, so I decided to bring in a couple of the experts to weigh in. I got the priests and teachers of religion around me and asked where the scriptures said this baby would be born. You see, I'm kind of smart and good looking, but we won't get into that right now. Then I got the information about when the star first appeared, and I realized that at this point the baby wouldn't be 2 years old yet. So I figured these guys are giving a lot of information, and I must be able to get just a little more out of them. So because I'm so smart, I told them that they should go and find the baby, worship him, and then come back and tell me exactly where the baby was so I could also go and pay my respects. Well, those smarty pants probably saw through my plan because, well, they never came back. You see, this Jesus that they had talked about was going to be a problem for me as king. The prophecies said that the king of Jews would come and reign over his people. This was a threat to my throne, and so I needed to take that threat out. So I ordered every baby 2 years or younger to be killed. You might think that's a little, how do you say it, rude to do that. Well, I needed to protect myself, and Jesus was a hindrance to me living my life the way I wanted to live it. And so I needed to do away with Jesus so that he wouldn't affect my hopes to be rich, prosperous, and powerful. You know, a lot of you are like me too. I actually heard what Joseph said earlier. You are afraid to commit to Jesus because of what it's going to cost you. Well, I'm with you.
Good morning, everyone. I am a wise man. I saw a star and followed it for a couple of years. Some might not consider that to be wise. I thought it was a good way to spend my time. I mean, the camel I rode on would probably have thought a better way to spend her time. You know how it is when you're on the road, you don't eat quite as well. Sometimes your stomach does strange things. Well, my camel Mervin had a major gas problem. Gas is a problem of the road. Nowadays, you usually have more of a problem not having enough gas for the journey. I would say Mervin had a bit too much. I'm a wise man, but that is one problem I don't know how to fix for a camel. And so you might be wondering why we're following a star? Well, in the books that us wise men read, there was a certain prophecy that was indicated by a star in the west, and it was one of those big prophecies. It was a prophecy that told about a king that would save the Jews from constant oppression. For me, I looked at the prophecy and realized that this had the makings of complete world change. This would change the way our world ran and functioned, kind of like the wedding of Prince William and Kate, kind of like that, just maybe not quite as romantic. And so we decided to make the trek to see the glorious event so naturally. We thought the star would lead to the palace in Jerusalem because this was likely where the new king would be born, right? I'm smart, but apparently the star had other plans. Maybe there was an accident or the baby would be elsewhere. But the star didn't stop over the palace. We figured we may as well check with the people at the palace to see where this king was born. So we stopped there and asked. After King Herod met with some Jewish folks, he told us that we should keep going to Bethlehem. He also made sure to tell us that we should come back to him and tell him where the baby was so he could worship him too. When I went out to tell my camel that we were continuing the journey, she spit in my face. Nasty. It was a long ride to Bethlehem with the stubborn camel, but we made it and asked around. We finally found the home where the baby was staying, and we entered the home. And to my surprise, this was just an average baby. There was no silk diapers or one of those palm-waving people keeping the baby cool. It was a baby like any other baby. It was so shocking and so different than what I had imagined. We brought some gifts, some fairly expensive stuff, and so we laid it in front of the baby. If I would have known it would be a normal baby and not the rich, spoiled, all-about-money baby, I probably would have gotten it a teether or something. But somehow this just seemed right. I had given up something very expensive for this king. I sat in awe of all that was happening and people from slavery. And for the first time, I knew that this baby was truly worth for his people. This baby signified freeing of the Jewish people from slavery. In some weird way, the expensive gift made sense. I gave this as a gift, and it was worth it. And when I think of worship, that's just what it is, giving of ourselves to uphold something that is worthy to receive every part of us. How much are you giving to God when you worship, or are you so concerned about what it costs you that you don't want to give? Let me tell you, I have never felt so close to God as I did that night. It was because I gave him a special gift that cost me something.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm sorry. I might stink a little bit. I stepped in a bunch of sheep droppings just before I left the field. I was really hoping to come here, smell nice. I just had a nice bucket shower before I came here. I want to look real nice for you all. So I'm really sorry, but they want me to share some things about what happened that one night. Oh, that one night? Do you ever have those times in your life where you get fired up? Back when I was a little shepherd boy, I'd go to these shepherd camps. Man, if there was ever a time I wanted to be a long life victorious shepherd, it was at these camps. They would explain ideas on how to raise sheep. It investigated me anyway. This was a night where I stood away from the God works. It was a cold night. Along us led a shining bright. Along us led a light was shining super bright. I figured it was Jethro playing a trick on us with one of those new fancy LED spotlights. So I yelled out, "Hey Jethro, stop messing around with the light, you're gonna suck the battery down." I get it, it's a bright light, but let's conserve energy. Hello, environment, but Jethro, we saw, I'm right here. That's not me. And he was right. I stood speechless and noticed my legs shaking. I quickly shoveled a little sheep I had been lying on toward the bright light and said, "Please take whatever you want, just don't kill me." Started screeching for my wallet for some money I could give the stranger man who was looking at us. Then the man started talking and said this, "Don't be afraid. Yeah, that's easy for you to say. I don't have the ability to blind people with a light." But he went on talking about some good news. And the angel told us if we went look for him in a manger, we can make sure. What? And then, so we're a bus. A manger? Isn't that where animals eat up? Maybe the angel told us about the babies, so that up with the whole back of angels. One worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I'll never forget. They sang a song for us. It was beautiful.
When they have gone into heaven, we remember the news they told us, and we decide we need to go save this little baby. So we rushed into Bethlehem. It took us a while to find the baby, but when we found him, there wasn't a mad dash to swipe the baby out of the feeding trough. But it seemed like this was just how it was meant to be. I can't explain it. There was something in the air, and I'm not talking the smell of sheep droppings I had brought with me. No, there was something otherworldly about this event. None of us could explain the feeling we had. None of us could explain the feeling of peace we had. Why would God come as a baby? Isn't that backwards? But isn't that exactly the way God works? Why would we have been informed or a king's birth. Isn't that backwards? But one thing I get from the experience is that God works in ways that we cannot understand. And the day fills me with wonder at the plans God has and had for his people. Does this event fill you with wonder as much as it does me? Probably not. But this Christmas, I encourage you to let your heart go and start to wonder at the gift of a baby who later on saved us all from slavery. It is a wonderful story of a wondrous God.
All right, I have some exciting news to share with you. An angel came and visited me one night. I remember it like it was yesterday. He told me that I was going to have a baby. The first thought was one of, who do you think you are? But then he started to let me in on the plan, and I started to remember the prophecies. And suddenly I became super excited. He described it just as the prophets had. Now Joseph talked about his commitment, and I am so thankful to God for how Joseph handled everything. But one thing Joseph didn't experience was a baby growing inside of his tummy. I knew what this would mean. If I accepted this task, it would mean for at least the next 3 months I would be nauseous, tired, and not feeling very well. I also knew that I would feel for the next long while that my body wasn't mine anymore, but rather belonged to a little snurps of a kid. You know, this may not sound like that bad to you, but I was only 14 years old at the time. Now you 14-year-old girls think of these things and how much you want to just keep on living your teenage lives. This baby was going to change my life forever, not to mention the added pressure from the people around me. Who wouldn't believe me that I had conceived by the Holy Spirit? My life was about to be put in the hands of someone else, namely God. Could I trust my life in his hands? And it is that question that sealed the deal for me. Think about that question. Can I trust my life in the hands of God? And I knew that I totally could. So I gave my body to use for his purpose. And just look what God did through that gift. Did you know God wants to use you for his purpose too? Are you willing to give up yourself to commit to a life serving God? Well, I hope my yes is an encouragement for all of you of how God can use us in his story. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said.
No. So we've heard five things today, and here are the questions we want to leave you with this Christmas. As Joseph asked, how committed are you to Jesus? Are you scared of what committing to Jesus will cost you? As the wise men had reminded us, what are you willing to give up in order to give Jesus your worship? And finally, have you allowed yourself to get carried away with wonder in about how God works? How can God use you in his story of redemption? We're going to allow you a little bit of time today to think about these five questions in a time of response.
Thank you.
just like a woman, always on a phone.
Sing about senseless. No. Senses, that's it. Just a minute. Yes, dear?
Oh, my. There's work to be done here. We got people coming
just
in.
Just a minute.
Will you need... Give me some help, would you please?
So I'll tell you what, we'll talk later and I'll give you the, all the scoop. I promise I got. All right, okay. Love you too. Bye. Now wait a minute.
Oh.
What is this about assistance?
Hey.
Where have you... What? What? Have you been to the camel races again?
No. You know I know better after the last time you spoke to me.
I was just talking to George, King Herod, the census. What do you think about all that?
I don't think it's a good thing. I mean, we got the Roman authorities coming in. We have all these strangers coming into our town, and now they want residence at our inn. I don't like it one bit, as if we at the Shoney Towers can do anything about it.
Oh, it is a business. We don't make money if we're not full.
Oh, you know better, dear. It's just the class of the people who are coming to us. This place isn't suitable for their kind.
What is it with you and the Romans?
Well, what have they ever done for us?
Oh, let me tell you. There's
the roads,
come on. And then there's the roads, and then all of the plumage and the fancy.
Oh, don't go on with that, Cheryl. We just don't want them knocking at our door.
Oh. You have to get it.
No, you go.
If you are the man of the house, dear, go do your job.
If it's the Romans or worse, how about Herod's soldiers? Come on. I guess I'll see who it is.
Please.
Okay. There's a couple out there.
No way.
Yes.
We're full. No.
They're peasants.
Oh.
They're from out of town. There's a man, his name is Joseph, and he's got a woman with him. I assume it's his wife. She's very pregnant, and we don't want her dropping that baby on our doorstep.
Well, we can't be mean. We have that luxury room upstairs. The baby could have that luxury. No. The parents could have the luxury room, and we'll just do it at a discount rate. You know, we.
Oh, I suppose so. But just wait a minute, dear. What if Herod's soldiers come to our place and start sniffing around? And they want to search all the premises.
Oh, with that.
And if the baby's a boy,
yeah,
he's going to be in great danger.
Oh, that is very, very true. So,
okay, I know. If a light came on, how about this, dear? How about if we put him in the back with the animals in the stable?
Well, then they may not search there, and if it is a boy, it would be less dangerous. But I did ask you to shovel the manure.
Nag, nag, nag.
Well, you know, you okay. Could grab a couple of bags.
Oh,
you don't have any, though, do you?
I did say bags, but you are nagging me.
I am. It's going to smell. Would you like to have that baby smell? Now, I'll tell you what. You go clean up the manure.
Oh, yeah,
get them
right.
Where they need to be.
Okay. I'm sorry, dear. There's no room in the inn.
Little white lie.
Yeah.
Yes, we can do a little
we
white
We can do that. So, and where did you say you were from? Oh, Cheryl, they're from Bethlehem from Nazareth.
You got
they're coming to,
yesterday.
Yes, I did. They're coming to the destination where they are.
That's it. Well, you go help them get settled, and I'm gonna go boil some water and grab some towels. How's that?
Yeah, Nazareth, right, someplace. Go to it, get it done.
Absolutely.
Several were asking me before the service, is there also going to be a sermon? So relax. Would like to share with you, though, I want to raise up the word of Advent for this Sunday, and that is hope. In this world, there's a lot of bleak things happening, uncertainties. It's not just economic, it's not just medical, it's just not the future, it's not just any one thing. But this is a world of great darkness. And there's sadness. Good people are dying, friends and family are leaving us. Others are having anniversaries of those realities into the dark of the winter season. On Friday, I was meeting with people from the downtown churches, a few of us there, and we were planning the service of solace on December 21st. For those who are grieving anniversaries of deaths or losses, for those who are going through transitions in their life. We'll be gathering at Grace Episcopal at 6:30 on that day, December 21st. It's the most interesting experience because I've never gone through that service in a Lutheran tradition. So I'm learning from the Presbyterians, I'm learning from the Catholics, I'm learning from the Episcopal, the need to do that. Because in the dark winter, it feels hopeless. These last few weeks, I've buried too many people. And there's still more to come. There is hope. That's all I can say. It's the gospel. It's the truth that God is indeed raised. To not only live his days as one of us, to show us his way, his truth,
and await the coming of Christ. We pray and hope for the church, the world, and all of creation. Equip your church, merciful God. Secure our roots in the soil of your eternal word. Ease our worries and remove our shame. Grow our faithfulness and let your steadfast love blossom among us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear.
Sustain your creation, holy God. Water the parched soil. Restore depleted fields. Send farmers, forest rangers, and gardeners to care for the fig trees and the wheat fields, gardens, arboretums, and increase our love of land. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Grow peace within us, abundant God. Raise up leaders in every community grounded in your justice and mercy. Increase their love for all people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Feed the hungry, living God. Gather our harvest into the feast of our neighbors. Move us to nurture those who are bereaved and lonely. Empower those living with HIV and AIDS, and all who are sick, especially Iris Cook, Carrie Harper, Alexandria Ralston, Bev Chidster, Elvira and Joe Coulthard, Rhonda Crosby, Susan Phillips, Donald Seltzer, Don Julski, Jill Harper, Sharon DeSantis, Bob Shirky, Sharon Cunningham, Doug McLean, Daniel Tubbs, Jeff Parker, Daniel Basie, Linda Leonard, Jim Borntrager, and the family of Madeline Downing and Kathy Ledsworth. Lord, also be with those serving our nation, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Souyer, and Jaron Souyer and Rob Nolan, and those returning safely from their service overseas and those returning to our communities. And Lord, be with those families experiencing pain and loss, especially in this holiday season. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Increase your joy, wondrous God. Plant thanksgiving in our hearts and multiply the good fruit of our outreach ministries and creation care programs. Guide us into our service to local and global neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. In thanksgiving, we remember all who have died and now rest in your glory. Hold all who mourn in the comfort of your eternal light and bring us to delight in the new life of your promise. Lord, in your mercy.
Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring to you, O Lord, these prayers, even those unspoken, in the name of Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of Christ Church. Hasten the transition to the prayers. My voice may have left you. It's not. Come on. Forward. It's because my batteries ran out, not in me, but in my wireless microphone. So keep extra batteries in the front. Change them. So, a few things about the prayers. There are a lot of announcements. Newsletter, hopefully you got, or they're at the positions in the sanctuary as you exit. Iris Cook came back to town Tuesday evening after a slow departure because in Flint they had 8 inches of snow. We got nothing, thank God. So she came in Tuesday evening. She was here Wednesday, Thursday. I happened to be there when some of her church, where she belongs, Seventh-day Adventist, including 8 children, came in. This is at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And they came to sing to Iris. So this pastor also sang with the kids. We sang 3 hymns, How Great Thou Art, including Trust and Obey, and all the verses for you Lutherans who like all the verses. And Iris was in her bed with a face mask on because we could not get near her and she could not get near us. Couldn't make skin contact because of an upper respiratory and not knowing its origin. The next day, in physical therapy, they pulled a tube out of her in physical therapy. She had to go back into Port Huron Hospital, which she still is as of last night, and she'll probably be there till Monday. Emma, her friend and retired RN. She has a private duty RN, it's a friend from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, so that's great. Her days obviously are numbered, and this is not a good way to have the numbers go, having to be transported again. So remember Iris in your prayers. I'll keep you updated as she gives me permission, and she's happy to share. Then on Friday, Doug McLean of our congregation had surgery, as he had told me just prior. They were going to remove cancer, which had filled up one of his kidneys. Then they would address the cancer in his lung. Shirley, last night when I spoke to her, giving him time to kind of determine what all happened, let the dust kind of settle on Doug's surgery, she informed me that the surgeon opened him up to take the kidney because it was full of cancer. He got his hand inside his abdomen, looked around, and he said, "I'm closing you up." Shirley then gets a little kind of confused what's going on. They're supposed to get answers and another procedure on Monday, but I cannot imagine it's going to be a good decision that they're going to have to tell him. Many times, many of you know, when a person's body is opened up, oxygen gets in there and the cancer spreads. So we'll see how it goes for Doug. When I talked to him before surgery, the evening before he went in the hospital, he says, "I'm ready for it. I trust in God. And I certainly hope I recover." But he understands that God's will was being done in their moving in May to move over to live with their daughter, Candy, in Pennsylvania. He says, "I don't know what Shirley would have done if I would have passed away here." So they're aware of the severity of this, and I'll keep you posted as appropriate. And then Friday night, got a phone call from a family from St. Martin, and they've had a death that day. So I'll do a funeral over at St. Martin on Thursday of this week. So this unfolds, and certainly December 21st, the dark season. And remember, God is here in our darkness, is more meaningful to me now. In your bulletin, there are many other things occurring which are not so sad. There are wonderful things, the decorations that have been done by the members of the church, the newsletter that got done this week, and obviously the wonderful play. Jennifer is director and organizer, and the participants. And not bad for one rehearsal, right? For those of you who have ever planned a Christmas program, I wouldn't wish that on my best friend. But it's really difficult because nobody's schedule is ever the same. But you need to get them all together, a critical mass, we call it in physics, to make it happen. And it did happen because of yesterday. And patience and prayer. Right, Jennifer?
Oh, yes.
A lot of prayer. And because we're a hopeful people, it came together with God's assistance. Our worship continues as our offering is presented. We sing our offertory. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. Verses 1 and 2. Please rise.
Thank you.
God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it and he blessed it. He said, "This is, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." So with this bread, with this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God fills the hungry with good things. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Come forward during the distribution. We sing the hymns as indicated there. Dear Scott, this is Christ's body for you. Take and eat. This is Christ's blood shed for you. Take and drink. You've received the body and blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. By his death and resurrection, he has made full satisfaction for all of your sins. Depart in his peace. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table.
Each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.